This is Night Call. Broadcast live with host Russ Gibb. And tonight's guest, Reverend William J. Peckham, youth evangelist, Fredericksburg, Virginia. Tonight's subject, do our kids dig religion today? You participate by calling Night Call's national phone number, 313-846-6601. Now here's Night Call host, Russ Gibb.
Hello, Night People. This is Gibb. Standing by in Fredericksburg, Virginia is Reverend Bill Peckham. Bill is the National Director of Youth and Student Evangelism for the Methodist Church and has had a wide background working with youth throughout the United States. Now, if you'd like to ask Reverend Peckham a question on tonight's topic, do our kids dig religion today, or make a comment, give us a call here at Night Call. Our national Night Call number is area code 313-846-6601. Our Night Call operators are on duty. Our lines are open, and we invite you to join us here on Night Call. Now, remember, gentle people, you may call from anywhere collect. You may reverse the charges. Please make that call station to station. Our Night Call number, area code 313-846-6601. Reverend Peckham, do our kids dig religion today?
Well, it depends on who you're talking about. I find that kids do dig religion today. Maybe not as a lot of people have always talked about religion. Perhaps not in the same old language that they once were accustomed to talking about religion. But yes, today's teenagers, I think, do dig religion if you have a chance to really talk with them about it.
Well, how do you talk to kids today about religion?
Well, I think you've got to get where they are.
What do you mean by that, Bill?
Pardon me?
What do you mean by that, where they are?
I think you've got to dare to get outside the four walls of the church. I think you've got to talk with kids within their own teenage culture. I think you've got to talk, as I like to say, teenage language. They're not hearing the same old words. There was a time when I was growing up, when we had a pretty good idea of what biblical language was all about. We knew churchly language, but today's kid, generally, no, I don't think he's quite aware. He's starting to say, what in the world do you mean by God? What do you mean by the church and by faith and all this sort of thing? We're finding that if we get in his setting, for instance, here in Fredericksburg, Virginia, we're doing a most unique sort of thing. Tomorrow night, we're having, as a part of an evangelistic mission in which I'm involved here at the Fredericksburg Methodist Church, what we're calling Revival a Go-Go.
Revival a Go-Go.
Yeah, it's a dance. We're having a big dance at the local armory here with a live combo. The Satellites are going to be playing. We're expecting from 500 to 1,000 teenagers there. And at intermission time, I'll be talking to them. Now, again, not from the pulpit, but sitting on what is popularly called around here Peck's Perch, which is a kind of kitchen bar stool combination sort of thing, where I'll be chatting with kids and talking with them and giving them a chance to talk back.
In other words, you carry on a dialogue about religion with the kids.
Yeah, I think we've got to grapple with kids at the level of their own needs and their own questions. And the third thing is we've got to get religion applied to life as where they're finding it. They're just not going to buy this pie in the sky, by and by when we die stuff, which I believe is not only irrelevant, but it's unchristian.
What about the older members of the church, of the congregation? How do they feel about this idea of bringing religion down to the level of teenagers? Don't they suggest that possibly you should bring the teenager, and I'm saying this with tongue-in-cheek, up to the level of the adults?
Well, of course, this is always the temptation to feel that if people don't get religion as I got religion, they can't possibly have it. But every generation has its own cultural setting, its own social setting, and if we're going to talk to people, we've got to talk to them where they are. Now, this is not to take away from the very real validity of what has happened in the past. It is only to say that in today's setting, with today's teenager and all of the pressures and the needs that he experiences, we got to talk to him where he is.
Well, where is he, Bill?
I think he's caught up in a society that he doesn't quite understand. I think he's hearing a lot of voices trying to get his attention. A lot of teenagers are around the world, I think, are truly explosive. Saturday Evening Post, about 3 years ago, devoted a whole issue to these kids in which they said they were the explosive generation. I think today's American teenager is trying to become explosive. I think he's trying to find a cause that is so real and not phony that he can give everything he's got to it.
Basically, you're saying he's trying to find himself.
Yeah, I think we're caught up in what some philosophers are saying is an identity crisis. Today's teenager is trying to find out who he is in this kind of a world.
Well, now, why is it so difficult for today's teenagers to find themselves? In other words, what is it that has caused kids to look about them and say, you know, who am I? What am I here for? What's it all for?
Well, we're in a period of real transition, I think. We've kind of left what was in morals, let's take for example. We've left the shore of an older, rather dogmatic, puritanical, Victorian morality. We're moving to a new kind of morality, and we're in that never land in between. In terms of international affairs, the whole world is caught up in revolution. Probably more revolutions today than ever in history. We've had in the past an industrial revolution or a political revolution, but now we have not only that sort of thing, but the revolution in morals, the revolution in race, the revolution in all of these other areas, and today's teenager is caught right smack in the middle of it.
Well, now, is he aware that he lives in an age of revolution?
Yes, I think he's very much aware of it. His response is not easy for him to define. Maybe the response of today's teenager is not worry over the world, but more anxiety. He finds it very difficult to say what troubles him. There's a vague feeling that something is terribly wrong, and I think some of the demonstrations that we're seeing among teenagers are outward expressions of the frustration of trying to meet the kind of world he's finding himself in.
But, Bill, don't you think that every generation of teenagers goes through this same trauma?
Oh, I'm sure. This is a natural thing that every teenager has to experience. But it is more complicated in our day because of the complexity and the number of things that are happening all at once.
Do kids take church seriously? In other words, do kids attend church regularly?
No. Statistically, no. It's estimated that probably less than half of today's teenager has any active involvement in a church. We began this discussion with the question, do kids dig religion? I don't find that there's any antagonism or great revolt against God, a rejection of the validity of true Christian faith. But I find that there is a great skepticism about the church. I find more tendency to react against the institutionalized forms of Christianity than in any other way.
You mean kids feel that the church has somehow or other become phony?
Yeah, this is their favorite term, that it's square, that it's irrelevant. That it seems to be up in an ivory tower saying naughty, naughty to a world that is sick, and this is not enough.
Well,
now, I think this is not always warranted, but nonetheless, this is an attitude with which we're going to have to deal.
Well, now, why do kids feel this way about the organized church? What is it that the church has been doing? Name me some specific things that you feel are driving youngsters away from the church.
I don't know that it's anything we're doing. More, I think it's more what we're not doing. Any institution becomes a little bit hard to change, and every generation finds it very difficult to keep up with what's happening with a new generation. And we haven't found it easy to shift gears in the methods and the language with which we try to communicate the gospel. Some are saying today that whereas we have come through an era recently when we had to rediscover the gospel, that is the real content of the Christian faith, we're living in a day now where we've got to rediscover the world. The church has not really been aware of the kind of setting in which these kids and adults also are finding themselves.
Our topic on Night Call tonight, do our kids dig religion today? Our guest is Reverend William J. Peckham. And if you'd like to join us here, give us a buzz at area code 313-846-6601. Bill, do kids read the Bible today?
Yes, I think more so, surprisingly, than in a lot of past eras. They're reading it in a new way. They're reading it critically. They're reading it with real scholarship. A large numbers of them, however, are not. They don't know how, and this has been the problem. It's not enough to read the Bible. And where we have finally gotten this message across to kids, and they have brought the keen insight of their mind and their intellect, there's real interest in the Bible. on college campus. They're reading it in a different way. They're not reading it, I think, devotionally as much as they are in terms of real critical study.
Do you think that kids, when they attend church, actually are there mentally as well as physically?
Well, of course, here it's hard to generalize. I don't know that we can ever measure this. I find that the kids are listening because when I get into dialogue with them, they're asking some pretty pointed questions, and they're wanting some answers. They don't always agree with what they hear, but I think they're thinking through. There are other times, after you've gone once or twice, depending on where you're attending church, they tend to turn their hearing aid off and just tune the preacher out.
What about the parents of kids today? What do they think about your ideas of bringing the church to youngsters?
Generally speaking, there's a tremendously warm response to this because parents are acutely aware of the need to do something different in that we're not getting through to kids in the ways that we have approached it before. There are always those who will raise some questions about what we're doing. But generally, I find that parents of teenagers are the greatest support that I have and most youth workers have anywhere.
In my day, Bill, I happened to have a preacher who didn't allow social dancing in his church.
Mm-hmm.
And as I think back on that, that used to drive me wild. And yet our dancing, compared to today's wild dances, at least they're wild to me because I can't do them,
yeah,
would probably drive the poor man, spinning in his grave.
I'm sure of that, because we came through an era, Russ, where we grouped all of this together and said it's either all bad or it's all good. Now, I've just been talking with a group of teenagers who are staying up here at the church into the wee hours of the morning about this very subject. And I was saying to them that there's nothing wrong with dancing as such, though it can be. We've had a mission down to Daytona Beach where I've been ministering, trying to have some kind of Christian witness to this vast number of college students who assemble there during Holy Week.
That's where the boys are.
That we see down there is wrong. I mean, it leaves nothing to the imagination and is conducive to everything but good social fellowship, if you will.
Well, now,
why
do kids like to go down to this type of thing? In other words, we all know about Florida during the vacation time, spring vacation. What's the attraction down there?
The word got out, Russ, that this was the thing. Kids have been going to Daytona for 20 years. But suddenly the car has become more accessible. Kids had more money. That book, Where the Boys Are, was written. The movie was made. And the word soon gets around where the action is. And the word is out that Daytona is the place where the action is during Holy Week. And so the kids go down there to have their fling. Now, they're not all, quote-unquote, bad at all. But they're down to react against having their nose stuck in a book and so on. There's a lot of drinking. There's a lot of playing around. There's a lot of questionable behavior in all of this. And this we have to deal with. But I don't know that there's any one reason that the kids go.
Well, now, you say they're having their fling. Now, I assume that this means some drinking that's going on. How do you look upon a teenager when he tells you that he's been out boozing it up?
Well, I think we have to deal with at the level of rightness, wrongness, and a new look at the meaning of morality at this point. I don't think that drinking is the one great sin, though I won't compromise at the point that I think when we take seriously our responsibility to other people and social responsibility and all of the other facts that this is defensible. I don't reject a kid. I'm not shocked at drinking because it's a very common sort of thing. That doesn't mean I condone it. I think we've got to responsibly deal with it. So often, again in the past, we've tended to pick out one or two things that were absolutely wrong, as you've indicated. If you drank, if you smoked, if you went to dances, if you wore very much lipstick, etc., this in and of itself was enough to say that you were lost, quote-unquote.
Our guest tonight, the Reverend William J. Peckham. He's the National Director of Youth and Student Evangelism for the Methodist Church. Our topic: Do Our Kids Dig Religion Today? You're tuned to the Night Call Network.
This is Night Call, where you participate by calling Night Call's national phone number, 313-846-6601. Host Russ Gibb will return in 70 seconds with more Night Call.
Look, I'm quite self-sufficient. I made myself what I am, thank you.
But don't you think all of us occasionally could use a little divine or...
Gee, I gotta run. Here's my card, anyhow. I'm a vice president now.
Well, good.
Yes, indeed.
But your name, it's just penciled in here.
Well, there's a big turnover in personnel. You know how it is.
Uh-huh. Well, that's just about how it is in life, isn't it?
Pardon?
We're all just penciled in.
Where'd you get the idea you could make it all by yourself? Doesn't it get a little lonely sometimes out on that limb without him? It's a great life, but it could be greater. Why try and go it alone? The blessings you lose may be your own.
The preceding was presented by the United Presbyterian Church. This is Night Call, and here is host, Russ Gibb.
Hello again, Night People. Our guest tonight is the Reverend William J. Peckham. Our topic, Do Our Kids Dig Religion Today? And if you'd like to join us here on Night Call, give us a buzz at area code 313-846-6601. Now, you may dial us direct, and if you wish, you may make that call collect. You may reverse the charges. It's very simple. Just pick up the old telephone and dial area code 313-846-6601 and let us know what you're thinking about. What do you think about this idea? Do our kids dig religion today? Should we bring religion down to the level of youngsters, or should we bring youngsters up to the level of adult concepts as to what is correct as far as religion is concerned? Bill, I have a caller standing by in Pikesville, Maryland, a listener on WBAL, Mrs. Ann Ackley Clark. Good evening, Mrs. Clark. You're on Night Call. Your comment, ma'am.
Thank you, Mr. Gibbs. I want to thank you and yours very, very much for doing this wonderful work. I agree with what you're saying. I am doing the same thing myself to the best of my ability, and I dedicate myself from the bottom of my heart and soul to helping what is outside of myself, the people, the teenagers, with my every thought, word, and deed. I agree with what you say there, and I think your work is the striving for perfection that is leading toward the happiness, freedom, and peace of mind that all others deserve and are going toward. And
Miss,
I thank God.
Mrs. Clark, thank you for your kind comments. Now, tell me this. Do you feel that kids are going to pot today?
I think they are going ahead to better things because they want knowledge, and I believe that there's a deep reverence of the children today, in the children, for knowledge, because they are acting in truth, and they're going ahead, and I believe that meeting them on their level is a wonderful thing that we can all do, and you're doing it, and I'm trying to.
Reverend Peckham, what do you think about Mrs. Clark's comments?
Well, I appreciate her agreement with what we're saying. It leads me to say one other thing, and that is that one of the great, most helpful things that can happen is for adults to get close enough to really get to know teenagers. I find that a lot of people are standing on their front porch and watching all the rods go by, hearing all the glass pack mufflers and tuning into the Beatles and a few other things, and drawing some conclusions without knowing a real-life teenager.
Well, don't you think, Reverend, that some of the adults in the United States are actually afraid of kids?
Oh, I'm sure we all stand in awe of that which we don't fully understand. These kids are alive, and therefore at times will pose a kind of threat to people. So I think that the parents tend to be rather awestruck by what's going on among teenagers.
Mrs. Clark, I want to thank you for calling Night Call.
You're quite welcome. My honor and my pleasure as an American citizen to be able to call and say these things, and thank you very much.
Thank you, Mrs. Clark. Mrs. Ann Ackley Clark, a lady who feels that the church is doing the correct thing when it's working with young people at their level. And Mrs. Clark was listening on WBAL. Let's go out to Torrington, Wyoming now. A listener on KGOS, Mr. Jim Fuller. Good evening, Jim. Speak right up. You're on Night Call, sir. Hello, Jim.
Hello, yes.
Your comment, please, sir.
Is this Russ?
Yes.
I know Bill Peckham. He conducted a crusade here, and we're very, very happy to have him on your program.
Well, we're glad that he's on.
Yes, he's a great fella.
Well, how'd you find that the crusade worked out for you, Jim?
Very fine. Very fine. Bill has an unusual talent with the youth. And he certainly does appeal to them in a Christian way, and they can certainly dig religion when Bill's around.
Well, what is that talent that he has? We can't ask Bill, you know, right to his face, say, Bill, what is your magic? But I can ask you, what is the thing that Bill has, Jim, that makes him such an outstanding...
That I think that I can say is that he's not a phony.
Not a phony?
Yes.
Do you think that many men that wear the cloth tend to get a little bit of phoniness about them?
Well,
there's a loaded question. Come on now.
What?
It's a loaded question. Come on.
Maybe this pie in the sky, we get too much with philosophy and ideology and things like that, rather than down to what they're talking about as far as their, whether you dig this, as far as their hip talk. And Bill has an unusual talent to, well, like, eat hamburgers and drink Cokes with them and things like that, which they really enjoy. They feel like he's part of them, and he feels like he's part of them, too.
Jim, I'm going to take you on that eating hamburgers and Coke. I can do that without any trouble. Jim, I want to thank you for your comments.
I wanted to ask
you... Oh, you had a question. Go right ahead, Jim.
Bill, how much do you think in regards to this religion that an example... makes. I mean, in regard to, like, if I tell one of the children not to watch TV, should I not watch it either? And the same thing, of course, goes with drinking and smoking. How much does an example, and like going to church and Sunday school, how much does an example have to do with this modern-day teenage generation?
Well, I think you've got your finger right on the pulse of things, Jim, because when you talk of and I appreciate your comment about me not being a phony. I think the one thing that will help a young person more than anything else is a positive example. I was talking to a young fellow up in New Hampshire, and he was talking about his father. He said, my old man's a phony. He tells me not to speed, but he'll drive 75 mile an hour in a 50 mile an hour zone. He tells me not to drink, but he keeps the refrigerator loaded with beer. He tells me not to smoke because the government says it'll cause lung cancer, but he says he's not going to stop because it's too late. Today's teenager is going to respond to anyone who's a real, genuine guy, I think. And this is the only way in which the Christian faith is going to be effectively communicated is through real embodiment of what we're talking about.
Have you seen the new Billy Graham movie, The Restless One?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good film.
I think that portrays it both for parents and teenagers very well.
It's a dramatic presentation of where kids are. I think there are many, many ways in which we've got to get to kids. Dr. Graham has done it in some ways. There are others who get at it in their own way. And I think we all have to find our style. I don't think there's any one method for reaching kids. But the one principal rule is of course, to be for real and not to be a phony.
Jim, thank you for calling Night Call.
Yes, thank you very much.
Mr. Bye. Jim Fuller, gentleman from Torrington, Wyoming, listening on KGOS. And let's go now to Indianapolis, Indiana, listener on WFBM-FM, Mrs. Juanita Johnson. Good evening, Mrs. Johnson. Speak right up. You're on Night Call, ma'am. Your comment, please. Hello? Have we lost Mrs. Johnson there? Well, let's go out to Billings, Montana, then. And the listener on KGHL, Mr. Terry Knapp. Good evening, Terry. Speak right up. You're on Night Call.
Hello?
Yes, sir. Your comment, please.
A while back, we were talking about how...
Could you speak up a little bit, Terry? We're having difficulty hearing you.
A while back, you commented that churches is sitting up on a...
Terry, I'm going to have to ask that you really shout into that telephone because we can barely hear you.
A while back, you commented that many teenagers use the churches sitting on a pedestal and say, naughty, naughty, you know, the world. And said that you didn't believe this as much as anything that the adult generation has done caused it. Well, I'm a teenager, and I have many friends, you know, that have just been that view. And my impression... for many of these is that parents are hypocritical, so to speak. They go to church Sunday morning and they get real fine and dandy, you know, Sunday morning. They get back home and that's it. That's the end of their religion until next Sunday.
In other words, you're saying, Terry, that many parents are Sunday Christians only, that they attend church and get their religion Sunday morning and then maybe act like wild men the rest of the week. What do you think about that, Bill?
Of course, here again is just another variation on what the teenager today calls the phony. Back about 25 or 50 years ago, they called it hypocrisy and the hypocrites and so on. I think a lot of this is true when you go by ultimate standards. However, I think this is based a little bit, and the danger here is that it's based on an idea of the church as a collection of saints. And the church is not a collection of saints. It's a collection of sinners who are gathering together, hoping to grow by God's help to become better people. And therefore, the measurement is not so much where they have arrived as where they have come from and where they're going. I'm not nearly so concerned about the person who seems to be a little bit phony in some ways, except when he's static, when he gets to one spot, he stays there, and there's no sense of anything happening in his life through the presence and commitment that he has made to God.
Terry, I want to thank you for calling Night Call. Mr. Terry Knapp from Billings, Montana, a listener on KGHL. Let's go out to Greencastle, Indiana now, listener on WFBM, Mr. Richard Watson. Good evening, Dick. Speak right up. You're on Night Call, sir.
Thank you very much. I would like to ask specifically, what is this new language that we are trying to communicate to the youth, and what is the relevance nowadays of the gospel? How can you make this relevant to a group of youth, especially the ones who are the boozers or the ones who play around a lot at possibly Fort Lauderdale, with these new morals and with their attitude that the only thing that will appease them is more or less absolute freedom? I would like to know, what is this language and how do we specifically communicate to them?
A couple things I'd say, Dick. First of all, I don't think there is a language that is somehow apart, but as I'm sure you're aware, the terms that kids use and the way they talk does change from year to year. For instance, we've been talking about this term phony. This is a rather recent phenomenon, whereas it used to be hypocrite or whatever you will. As to how you do this, I don't think there's a formula. I don't think there's an A, B, C, D. Someone helped me a lot when I began my ministry, when they gave me this advice. They said, Peckham, just remember the Lord's a lot smarter than we are. He gave us two ears and one mouth. That means we need to listen twice as much as we talk. I'm afraid we haven't been able to speak well to today's college student, or to the boozer, as you call him, or to whatever you will, because we don't really know him. We have all kinds of pictures of what he's like. Before we can speak, I think we've got to listen, and we've got to care, and then when we have established a relationship of genuine concern and love for that person, then we have a right to speak. What you'll say, I don't think you can determine ahead of time. I think it's in the dynamics of encountering a real live human being in his particular situation and need.
If this particular human being were in a situation in which he would claim to you that he finds no relevance in the gospel or in biblical terms in the Bible, in what preaching he has heard, and that his ultimate goal is to have this typical of youth, absolute freedom, which might include free love, or other sundries, absolute freedom, how can you make the gospel relevant to him?
I'm not sure that you always can. I think we have to recognize, first of all, that there are people whom we cannot reach right now. As I look back on the times that my religious commitment became most real and where I found really life-changing commitment, it was at a time when I became acutely aware of my needs. I think this is going to be true, that there are some who right now you can't determine when you're going to get through to this person. I think, however, that there are some areas of language in which we have to speak. For instance, we need to have him define what he means by gospel. We need to have him face up honestly to the meaning of freedom, that there's no such thing as freedom from responsibility, freedom to do just what you want to when you want to, including free love and all of this, is anarchy. And this is, you trace all of the things, that the logical implications of this, and you find that there's a lot of inconsistencies in his own understanding of this. Here again, I think it's in this dialogue where we have to get person to person and let him talk this out.
Mr. Watson, it's time for a station break. I want to thank you for calling Night Call.
Thank you, sir.
Mr. Richard Watson, a gentleman from Greencastle, Indiana, who is concerned about how one makes the gospel relevant. Gee whiz, I'm having difficult. Bill, help me out. Relevant.
Relevant, there's our word.
And, of course, Dick was listening on WFBM. Our guest tonight is the Reverend William J. Peckham. He's the National Director of Youth and Student Evangelism for the Methodist Church. Our topic, Do Our Kids Dig Religion Today? You're tuned to the Night Call Network.
This is Night Call, where you participate by calling Night Call's national phone number, 313-846-6601. Host Russ Gibb will return in 70 seconds with more Night Call.
Well, I can't this Sunday. I'm playing golf, and the following Sunday I promise to take the kids to the beach.
Uh-huh.
Man's got to spend some time with his kids, you know.
Yeah, sure.
Besides, we seem to get along just fine without church. You know, it's up to the individual. Gee, look at the time. I got to run. But anyhow, we'll trot along to church one of these days.
Uh-huh. Well, how about 2 weeks from Sunday?
Oh, I never planned that far ahead. 2 weeks, the whole world could blow up by then.
That's right.
Where you get the idea you could make it all by yourself? Doesn't it get a little lonely sometimes out on that limb without him? It's a great life, but it could be greater. Why try and go it alone? The blessings you lose may be your own.
The preceding was presented by your Council of Churches. This is Night Call, and here is host Russ Gibb.
Our guest on Night Call tonight is the Reverend William J. Peckham, better known as Bill Peckham. He's the National Director of Youth and Student Evangelism for the Methodist Church. Our topic, Do Our Kids Dig Religion Today? That's our Night Call topic, and we're sort of wondering whether or not kids really understand what the church is saying to them and whether or not the church understands the need of youngsters. So if you'd like to express your opinion as to whether or not kids dig religion today, whatever dig means, and I'm sure it means something to a teenager that it doesn't mean to me, give us a call here at our Night Call number. Now, you may call us by dialing area code 313-846-6601. Now, remember, you may call from anywhere collect. There's your chance, teenagers. You can reverse the charges. So please make that call station to station. The number, area code 313-846-6601. Our lines are open, and if you get a busy signal, please, please do not become discouraged. Just hang up and dial us again. Area code 313-846-6601. And Bill, I have a caller standing by in Indianapolis,
Indiana now, a listener on WFBM FM, Mrs. Helen Smith. Good evening, Mrs. Smith. You're on Night Call, ma'am.
Hello?
Your comment, please.
Hello?
Yes, ma'am.
Did you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. I am ardent and fervent listener to WFBN. In fact, it is my sedative each night for retiring. I have never had the urge to call before like I have had tonight. First of all, your question was, whatever the word good means, do they pick up on it? Do they comprehend? Do they understand? Does that answer that for you?
Yes, ma'am.
Now, secondly, I am a woman in my late 40s. I was brought up in a religious home. Whoever the lady was that said a while ago, something about bring the children up to the level where they can understand or bring the level down to them. Please, everybody who is listening, bring your children up to that level. As I first said, I was raised in a home where nothing could be done wrong. Religion aided, instructed, we read it, we studied it, and we felt at the age of 13, I balked at going to Sunday school because it was forced upon me. Had they told me, or tried to explain it.
Miss Smith, we're losing our line, our connection with you. Hello? Miss Smith, we lost that last comment because the line went bad on us. Could you speak up a little bit louder, please, ma'am?
All right. Had they explained to me in a teenager's language, can you hear me now?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Had they explained to me, then I could possibly have understood what they were talking about. But all I was told was, you've got to do everything right. You must not sin. You will die and go to hell. You follow me?
Yeah.
All right. Now, Reverend, as long as you possibly can, have the teenagers, have the kids understand religion is something that is to be appreciated. It's really something that we want to do, not that we have to do. It's a must to an adult, but to a child or a teenager, it has to be explained to them. It's something that you must want the desire to do. As a result, I never went to church after I was 13 years old. I never went to Sunday school until I became a woman. Now, I'm a convert of 5 years. Now, I wouldn't trade it for anything. But you see what I had to come through. It was forced upon me. They told me, you can't do this because that's wrong. Only bad girls do this. Dancing, playing cards. I could do nothing. So as a result, I balked at everything. Then when I became old enough to make my own decisions, I didn't go near a church. Now I say I am in my late 40s, and I worship and adore church, and it's a privilege, and it's just an honor to be called a Christian.
Well, Mr. Peckham, Bill, what do you think about this?
I think this is a terribly important point. I couldn't hear quite all of it, but I think I've got the gist of it. So often we spoon-feed kids, and you can't do this. Or we have a simple little morality that we label religion, which is simply naughty, naughty, mustn't do. The old teenage slogan, you know, I don't smoke and I don't chew and I don't go with the girls that do. Therefore, it's somehow supposed to make us good. Now, I think this is terribly unfair. One thing I would want very much to say at this point, and that is that if you're going to communicate religion so that kids dig religion, you've got to dare to encourage them to be intellectually honest and dare to ask why. I'm not afraid, and the church dare not be afraid, to deal responsibly with the honest questions that kids have. They need to be able to ask, why shouldn't I do this, or why should I do this? Even why should I believe there is a God?
And Bill, there must be a plausible answer.
Yes. Now there is a limit to what we can do, of course. We're dealing with matters here that are not simply logic, just as love is not simply logic. But we have to be as intellectually responsible and respectable as we are in any other pursuit. And I believe that the Christian faith that deals basically with an issue of the truth about life and God must not be afraid to grapple with this.
This is fine. And whatever you do, any way you can find to do it, as you pass this on to the kids, put it in a language that they can understand. Don't tell them, you've got to do this because I said so.
Thank you.
There is a reason.
Thank you for calling. Night call, Mrs.
Thank
Smith.
You,
this is Helen Smith, a lady from Indianapolis, Indiana, was listening on WFBM, and I guess she had a upbringing that sort of demanded that church be mandatory every Sunday and practically every day throughout the week, and she got a negative feeling about religion, and not until later life did she begin to come back into the church. I think this is a fairly common experience for many of us, is it not, Reverend?
Yes, a lot of kids rebel at this point. I think a lot of kids reject the church, don't really reject the church or religion, but they reject the church as a symbol of childhood. We have all too often let the church become something that children do and old folks do, and as a teenager starts throwing away his dollies, he throws away the church, which is also a symbol of childhood for him.
In other words, the Sunday school cards with the pretty colored pictures and all this is an idea of being a kid to him.
Yeah, I go to public school every so often just to find out what these kids are expected to do there intellectually. And it's a frightening thing when you compare it with the level of expectation that all too many of us have in church school.
Bill, if a kid walked into your church with hair down to his shoulders, and which seems to be quite a style right now with the youngsters, and the skin-tight pants, and are you a boy or are you a girl routine, how would you approach him? I mean, would you kick him out or would you welcome him in?
No, I'd be glad to have him. I'd be curious as to what it was in his life that said this was so terribly important. But I don't think we reject kids. We've gone through our fads in the past. I don't think you reject a kid with shoulder-length hair any more than you reject an adult with bad breath. I think that they're people, and they bring to this all kinds of needs, and I don't know for sure what this hair business is all about, but I think it's a fad. I think it'll pass.
Well, how about the kids now? Do they approach you with a wary eye? You know, when kids are together, it seems to me that I've overheard them talking about religion, and they always give one line to the preacher when he's in earshot and another line as soon as he walks away.
Yeah.
Why do kids have this sort of, well, you got to watch what you say because he's a minister and he really, you know, he really doesn't know what's going on.
Well, here again is the eternal problem of the generations. Preachers are adults, and adults find it very hard to understand teenagers because it only takes a year or two of growing up to forget what it was like to be a teenager. And a lot of us get so caught up in the routine. Pastors are terribly burdened with being business administrators and settlers of local quarrels and all this sort of thing to such an extent they can't give the time to really get to know kids as oftentimes they really need to do.
We have a caller standing by in Englewood, Colorado, a listener on KTLN, Mrs. Hazel Rohads. Good evening, Mrs. Rohads. You're on Night Call, ma'am. Your comments, please.
Hello?
Yes, ma'am.
I'm Mrs. Rhodes, R-H-O-A-D-E-S.
I'm sorry, I mispronounced that name. Forgive me.
Yes, I noticed that. Well, I've been enjoying your program. I listen to KTLN all the time here at home. One of our home stations.
Very fine station in Denver.
I've been enjoying your program tonight, sir.
Your comment, please.
Well, my comment is, I was thinking of the Apostle Paul when he said, Paul said, I become all things to all people, that by all means I might win some.
Yes.
And I do gospel work in the hospital, to the sick beds, to people who have run as far as they can from God. And I would ask your prayers for that ministry in this part of the world. Have you heard of Oswald J. Smith?
No, I'm sorry to say I haven't.
You haven't?
No.
Well, he works with the World Literature Crusade, a man from California, with a large congregation of people and ministers helping him there, and I had the privilege of hearing him tonight here in Denver, Colorado, at the Blair's Calvary Temple, and also a man by the name of Mr. Bright, who works with a college campus Crusade for Christ. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
Am I talking too loud?
No, you're doing well.
Well, fine. I figured I'd have to speak up, but it would be encouraging to you gentlemen to know how it whets your appetite just to see from all four corners of the world tonight those who are interested in the King's business because we have a great gospel, a great salvation to take to the lost and dying world, don't we?
Reverend?
Yes, ma'am. I appreciate that quotation from Paul. I think this is a good expression of what I see to be our modern-day contemporary ministry to teenagers. We're going to have to dare to go where people are, and we're going to have to be in a lot of settings, such as me wearing Bermuda shorts on the beach at Daytona, as well as sitting on a perch here in Fredericksburg, Virginia.
Mrs. Rhodes, I want to thank you for calling Night Call.
Thank you so much, gentlemen, and it's a great blessing to hear you on the air. God bless you.
Thank you, ma'am. This is Hazel Rhodes from Englewood, Colorado, a listener on KTLN. Our guest tonight is the Reverend Bill
J. Peckham, and he's the National Director of Youth and Student Evangelism for the Methodist Church. Our topic, Do Our Kids Dig Religion Today? You're tuned to the Night Call Network.
This is Night Call, where you participate by calling Night Call's national phone number, 313-846-6601. Host Russ Gibb will return in 70 seconds with more Night Call.
Busy America! Busy America! Busy making money! Busy buying gadgets, busy keeping up with you-know-who.
Is that your idea of fulfillment?
Don't you wonder if there's more to life than just that rat race with no finish line? Where'd you get the idea you could make it all by yourself? Doesn't it get a little lonely sometimes out on that limb without him? It's a great life, but it could be greater. Why try and go it alone? The blessings you lose may be your own.
The preceding was presented by your Council of Churches. This is Night Call, and here is host, Russ Gibb.
Our guest tonight is the Reverend William J. Peckham. Our topic, do our kids dig religion today? What do you think about it? Do kids dig religion? Are kids interested in religion, or are they really leaving the church never to return? Well, let's hear what you're thinking about on this particular topic. You can express your opinion coast to coast by calling area code 313-846-6601. 6-6-6-0-1. Now remember, gentle people, you may call from anywhere collect. You may reverse the charges, and I think that's a real good deal anytime you can get that going for yourself, to reverse the charges. Now please make that call station to station. And our number is area code 313-846-6601. If you get a busy signal, please do not become discouraged. Just hang up the old phone and give us another buzz. Area code 313-846-6601. And Reverend Peckham, I have a caller
standing by in Torrington, Wyoming, a listener on KGOS, Mr. Tom Jacobson. Good evening, Tom. You're on Night Call, sir.
Good evening. Thank you very much. I'm certainly enjoying the various conversations this evening. I know that from my work with youth here in Torrington that so many of the youth are sincerely looking for the application of their faith in Christ, and this talk about relevance is certainly, we might say, very relevant. I would like to ask Mr. Peckham this question. He used the word making the gospel relevant, but Mr. Peckham, would you please define for me what you mean by gospel?
Yes, I think it can easily be summed up, and again, here is where it oftentimes is contrary to a lot of popular opinion, that the good news or the gospel is not what man must do. The good news is what God has done in Jesus Christ to give man a new life. It is the good news that God loves man when he's most unlovable, that he accepts man when he is most unacceptable, and therefore, in this mystery of God's acceptance and love of man who is a sinner, who's all fouled up in his life, God has taken the initiative through Christ to give him a whole new beginning where he by himself could not do it himself.
Tom? Hello?
Very fine. But I again get a definite slant towards the making this gospel applicable for this life, and this is indeed good. But are you able in your work with the youth to effectively get in the very definite scriptural heavenly hope aspect of this relevant gospel that we have from the scriptures?
Yes, sir, Tom, I think there is, but I believe, again, in the New Testament that our eternal life is a gift of God. It's not something we can earn, it's not something we can demand or get in any way. That the meaning of the incarnation, that is, God in Christ, is that we are to live as Christians here and now, right now. And that anything that we have hereafter is a gift of God, and therefore our preoccupation must not be with the hereafter. I don't find anywhere in the New Testament that it says that heaven is the goal of man's life. Man is called upon to live as a faithful child of God right now, and then this life will not be frustrated. This is a gift of God in terms of eternity.
Very good.
Tom?
I would certainly agree.
Tom, can I ask you a question?
Yes, you betcha.
You say you work with young people.
Yes.
Are you a minister?
Yes, I am.
Now, has something bothered you about tonight's show? It's bothering me right now. The majority of people that have called have been adults.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why is this?
I already don't know. Because
yep.
I know, like, as I just mentioned before, I find that the youth, where they are given an opportunity to discuss the gospel and to apply God's word to their life, that many of them will take the opportunity and indeed are anxious to take the opportunity to do so. And myself, I had thought that with this topic tonight, that more and more young people would call up.
Could it be, and I'll ask this to both you gentlemen, seeing that you're men of the cloth, could it be that we're really just talking to adults and not talking to youth again?
Russ, let me say, I think this is true. We're on here in Eastern Standard Time here on the East Coast, and I'm sure that a lot of teenagers, except this crowd of characters that I have sitting out here in front of me, are either home in bed or out driving around where they don't have access to a telephone.
Well, that's possible.
Uh-huh.
Tom, I want to thank you for calling Night Call.
Okay, well, thank you very much. It was my pleasure.
Mr. Tom Jacobson from Torrington, Wyoming, listener on KGOS. And, Bill, wasn't that where you put on a crusade out in Torrington?
Yes, we had a tremendous time out there. One of the most unusual weeks that I've ever had. We started out with a youth banquet where, this Torrington, you know, is a town of a little over 5,000 people, I guess.
I know Wyoming well.
And we had about 275 kids the first night, and had way over 600 on by Tuesday night, and maintained that kind of an average all during the week.
So word must have passed.
They had a chance to fire questions, and these kids really went at me. The interest grew so much that, as I remember, on the last Sunday night, the whole high school band showed up and played for our team time program, and then even played for the worship service.
How was the high school band in Lafayette, Ohio, Bill?
Real good.
Because I have a surprise for you now. We have a caller from Lafayette, Ohio, a listener on WFBM. Mrs. Betty Patterson, and I think Betty knew you years ago. Hello, Betty, you're on Night Call, ma'am. Your comment, please. Hello? I think we've got a poor connection. I'm going to ask that Mrs. Patterson redial the number and see if we can get her in on time here. Mrs. Patterson, please just hang up the phone and redial us. And while we're waiting for Betty to call us again, let's go to Forest Hills, Pennsylvania, listener on WBAL, Mr. Paul Phelan. Good evening, Mr. Phelan. Speak right up. You're on Night Call, sir. Your comment, please.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, sir.
Hello, sir.
Yes, could you speak up and...
I wanted to say first that we, too, have met Bill Peckham here in Fairless Hills. Hello?
Go right ahead, Paul. Paul, if you're listening to your radio, it might confuse you a little bit unless you tune it down, because it's on a tape delay.
Well, we wanted to say that Bill did a terrific job with our young people. One comment I'd like to have, or one thing I would like to have Bill respond to for me, if he would, is what his thinking is about our teenagers that we protect so carefully in the home, how they can best get out and talk teenage language to those that we may consider the bad or offbeat group, how they can best respond and how they can best deliver the gospel message to young people of their own age. I'm afraid that sometimes we try to keep our good ones, as we call them, away from the bad ones, maybe we should be able to allow them to move out and spread the good news.
Paul, if I understood you correctly, and the line was fading there, we're having telephone problems tonight. Bill, could you hear Paul?
Yes, I think I got the essence of the message. I think Paul has his finger on something that's terribly important here, and that is that we've got to dare to trust these kids. A part of our problem is we've tried to shelter kids so long that when they meet the very real world, they don't know how to handle it. And teenagers can have more influence on other teenagers than anybody else. They can do a far more effective job in, if you will, quote-unquote, communicating the gospel than any preacher can. The very fact that they're alive and dare to live it, I have a lot of faith in these kids. I think we can dare to trust them with the problem teenager, the offbeat, because I just believe that good can triumph over evil. I don't think that it's necessary that the negative influence is going to have the major influence rather than the good influence.
Paul, I want to thank you for calling Night Call. Mr. Paul Phelan from Forest Hills, Pennsylvania, listener on WBAL. Let's go out to Indianapolis, Indiana. We have time for one more caller. And we'll go to Mrs. Zira Miller, and she's listening on WFBM. Good evening, Mrs. Miller. You're on Night Call, ma'am.
Hello?
Yes, your comment, please.
Oh, why, I was just wondering about this, the teenagers. That is our conversation. About the church accepting Christ.
Yes, ma'am.
Hello?
Yes, we can hear you.
Oh, well, I was wanting to ask the gentleman how does he expect to get the minds of the youth today? Now, the way the trend is, and the Bible has told them to serve the Lord with their whole heart, their mind, strength, and their body. And we're not to be overcharged with the cares of this life. And I was just wondering, how does he expect to capture those minds that they would serve the Lord with their whole heart, mind, and soul, and body, strength?
Bill, you have about 30 seconds to answer that.
I think the best way to say this is that they've got to find out that, first of all, I can love them before they can believe that God loves them. And it is in this kind of interpersonal relationship where they experience the meaning of self-giving sacrificial love at the human level, and it's transferred then to an understanding of God who also loves them at this level, that you're communicating the gospel.
Mrs. Miller, thank you for calling Night Call. Good night, ma'am. Lady from Indianapolis, Indiana, listening on WFBM. Reverend Peckham, I want to thank you for being our guest on Night Call. It's been a real pleasure having you here.
It's been my pleasure, Russ, to be a part of the program.
Our guest tonight was the Reverend William J. Peckham, and he's the National Director of Youth and Student Evangelism for the Methodist Church. Until Monday night, then, this is Gibb wishing you good luck and Godspeed.
Night Call is produced by the Methodist Church in cooperation with the National Council of Churches and this radio station. As a radio forum dedicated to the frank discussion of vital issues of daily life. Night Call encourages its participants to express freely and responsibly their own personal opinions.